This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, a preview of Earth Day in Cincinnati and a conversation with the author of A Neotropical Companion. Joining me first in the studio, Herbert Quella, the German Consul General in Chicago, one of eight German Consulates General in the U.S. His mission is to promote German-American economic relations, give Germans advice and assistance, foster bilateral cultural relations, and engage in the German-Jewish dialogue. Consul General Quella is in Greater Cincinnati this week to talk with local leaders and give presentations about the German roots of Zionism and the current refugee crisis in Europe. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Herbert, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
You're very welcome.
How's your visit to Cincinnati going so far?
Oh, it's fantastic, especially that you changed the weather after I arrived on a very rainy day.
It's gotten nicer along the way, hasn't it? Now, one of the things that that you've done while you're here is that you opened an exhibit yesterday in the Tangerman University Center at UC called The German Roots of Zionism.
Exactly.
It was put together by the German Embassy. So tell us about this exhibit and what people can learn from it.
Well, we try to point to the huge efforts that the Leo Beck Institute has undertaken in New York for preserving the culture of German or Germanic Jewry in the United States. And so this is just a small selection from their archives, putting together information in panels about people who in German-speaking countries at the turn of the last century, from the 1880s on, developed the idea of a state for the Jews. So the Zionist thinking, which originated in Berlin and Vienna, so the German Empire and the Austro-Hungarian Empire as the roots of that, we are trying to give information. And we had a great opening yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And how long, do you know how long the exhibit's going to be in place?
That will be in that location until tomorrow, actually, brief. No, 3 days until the 14th. And then it will be for 2 weeks at the Max Kader Center at the university, so just another location. And we have interest from the local Jewish community to move it to other places, but we are still negotiating that. And at the moment, it is being shown in the United States only in Dallas, and it's the first time it's shown in the Midwest.
Now, part of your mission as the Consul General is to promote economic relations between
Correct.
Germany and the United States. Talk about the status of those relations. How strong is the economic tie between the U.S. and Germany?
We have always been prime trading partners. Last year, actually, the United States for the first time surpassed France as our main trading partner, which was a big thing that we are celebrating. And then we are just a few days away from a very important visit, probably the last visit of President Obama to Germany in his current function, to the Hanover Fair, which is the largest industrial fair of the world. And in Hanover, the U.S. president will meet with Chancellor Angela Merkel, and he will be accompanied by a huge delegation from the United States representing business that is very important, especially for this region of the country, Midwest. John Deere, big land machine producers who are showing what they are doing. And we have all along, apart from trade relations, we've had major investments in the United States as much as the United States has had investments in Germany. So there's a broad range of cooperation along economic and commercial lines.
How many German companies are operating in the Midwest?
We have approximately 1,300, of whom 800 are members of the German-American Chamber of Commerce of the Midwest, which is also seated in Chicago.
And what kind of businesses are they involved in? Is it mainly industrial, or is it all a wide range of different businesses?
It is wide ranging. It's services. It's famous architects like Helmut Jahn, who reside in Chicago in a buildings. Software. IT. But then, of course, given the strong industrial base traditionally of this area of the United States, automotive industry, there are many suppliers. Of course, this is a union, trade union country, so the factories have been established south. The major German brands are being not manufactured in the Midwest. They are in Tennessee, South Carolina, and so forth. But in Georgia, but here we have the top suppliers of anything you can imagine.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join my conversation with German Consul General Herbert Quella. And Herbert, Cincinnati has deep ties with Germany. How familiar were you with Cincinnati before your visit here?
It's not my first visit. I was here shortly after taking up my duties in July 2014 for the first time. And I knew beforehand that this was part of the one corner of the German triangle in the Midwest, which goes from here to St. Louis and then up to Chicago. And there are other overlapping triangles which form the areas, the main areas of German settlement since the mid and early, actually, 1900s.
Now,
1800s, as a 19th century, 1800s, of course.
Yeah. Okay. One of the things that you're here to talk about, too, is the refugee crisis that's going on in Europe. So let's talk about that some. How does the recent flow of refugees into Europe compare to other times in history?
All the organizations involved, United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, the Organization for International Migration, the churches, the Pope himself, when he visited the United States last year in September, and his address to Congress, speak of the greatest refugee crisis that Europe has seen since the Second World War. So that takes us back 71 years. That's almost three generations. So that is one idea, and it's based on the sheer numbers that we are talking about, approximately 2 million people from mostly from the Middle East have reached Europe over the past 3 to 4 years. And last year we saw an escalation of this. So Germany has taken in sometimes during one day 10 to 15,000 people at arrivals at Munich train station. In one day, what is the contingent that the United States is discussing for Syrian refugees for 1 year, for instance, just to give you the dimension.
Is there any one thing? We tend to think it's all based around Syria. Is there any one thing, though, that's spurring this flow of refugees, or are there a lot of other factors that are playing into this?
There is a second largest group which is not connected to that area, which are Afghans. We are still fighting a war against the Taliban in Afghanistan in order to create a stable situation in that country, but apparently we are not successful. There are many people who are trying to flee to Europe, and a large group of them have come to Germany. And then there are other areas as far away as Africa, Nigeria, Boko Haram, terrorism, and the drivers, the push factors for this, especially in the Middle East, with the war in and around Syria, have of course been terrorist groups, foremost IS, the Islamic State. And so if you are faced with a situation where you have to fear for your life every day, then it's not surprising that you want to find a more peaceful surrounding, and people know that Europe is a peaceful area of this world, and so we can't actually blame them, and we are obliged under the Geneva Refugee Convention, to be generous, to offer them shelter, to feed them, and to clothe them.
What kind of effect is this immigration crisis having on Germany and the rest of Europe?
The initial attitude of Germany has been that of what we call welcome culture. Our Chancellor Angela Merkel said, "Wir schaffen das, we will manage to cope with these numbers who are coming." She did not know at the time that we would end up with 1.1 million in 11 months, which, if you translate it into the United States, would be the corresponding figure of 4 million arriving in 1 year. Just, we have 82 million in Germany alone, people living inhabitants of Germany, who are not only Germans. And you have 320 roughly in the United States. So that's why I come to this figure of 4 million roughly. And of course, that puts a strain on resources. We have had a huge element of improvisation in managing with this, which is only natural. You cannot talk about the greatest crisis on the one hand and then expect that you have recipes to cope with this. We have done very well. The majority of the Germans have shared the majority view of the government view and interpretation of the situation that we are in. Now the minority is growing. Right-wing populist party has gained votes, but it's not a destabilizing factor yet.
How do you see this impacting U.S. refugee and asylum policy?
Well, in general, I think we would be helped in Europe if there were a better understanding of the dimension of the crisis. That's why I'm giving lots of talks on this. And by understanding the dimension and what this means for the European Union as a whole, which has always been a very stable partner of the United States, there should be more of a self-interest of the United States to also help us in coping with the refugee crisis, which can include, of course, simply financial funds. One of the push factors was underfunding of refugee camps in Turkey, in Jordan, in Lebanon, in Iraq. And, of course, the other possibility to assist would be to be more open as far as the intake of refugees into the United States is concerned.
I wonder if you have any thoughts. There have been several members of the European Union who have been going through some deep economic problems. So I wonder if you have any thoughts about the strength of the European Union.
I remain an optimist, but we cannot deny the fact that with nationalist tendencies in many European countries, I could mention the Front National in France, I could mention UKIP in the United Kingdom, I could mention the governing party now in Poland, even parties in Denmark and so forth. There is a growing trend to sort of get back to more isolated national entities and not driving the European Union where we would like to have it, in a more integrated, more unified direction.
So how many years have you been in the diplomatic corps? You've been the consul general in Chicago since 2014, but you've served longer than that. I mean, it's been several decades, right?
That's right. Yeah. Sometimes I'm scared looking at that.
That's a long career in diplomacy.
36 years.
And what's been the most challenging posting that you've ever had?
Actually, my last posting before I had the luxury of a sabbatical at Harvard, which was for 1 year before coming to Chicago, was being ambassador in Azerbaijan on the Caspian Sea, based in Baku. Because it is a typical post-Soviet state where we all had great expectations when independence after being a member of the Soviet Union. When the constitution was drawn by Western experts and so forth, that democratization would kick off, where we have seen a reauthorized way back into an authoritarian culture, and that was very difficult to communicate our interest and our value-based thoughts, human rights culture, and what have you. So there were lots of internal conflict that I had to cope with. We have business interests there. It's an oil and gas-rich country. On the other hand, we know that stability is only being created in the long term if you do not oppress the freedom of the people.
So where do you head next in your visit to Cincinnati?
We'll be going to Northern Kentucky University this afternoon, and then later tonight for the flower show and the Munich Gala.
And one last thing. I hear you're very good on the harmonica.
I don't know whether I'm very good, but I would rank myself as an advanced learner. It's a tricky instrument, but it's a German instrument, and I've written a little story on it connecting the instrument with a typical American kind of music, which is the blues. So the story of the German harmonica and African-American blues culture. This is a topic which has fascinated me for a long time.
Are you up to playing a little bit?
If you want, yeah, I'll try this. I hope the people at the are prepared.
The engineer. Herbert, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
You're welcome.
Herbert Quella is the German Consul General in Chicago.